everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. A study from Oregon State University, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Nutrition, shows that lipoic acid supplements, you might know it as alpha-lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C acid, helps with obesity. And that's important. It helps you lose weight. And that's really good news. 600 milligrams a day can do it. That's what this study showed. We also today are going to look at some of the contradictions surrounding COVID. You're going to hear from a medical doctor, an emergency room doctor, infected with COVID-19, who's back at work. Why? He used an inexpensive, generally available, generic version of a drug, hydroxychloroquine, plus a Z-Pak, meaning zinc, and an antibiotic. He discusses that protocol. Now, he is just the latest in hundreds of mainstream physicians and scientists who are saying, why aren't we using this? And yet there's been a hate campaign, a disinformation campaign against it. In fact, it is so ruthless that they tried to bury hydroxychloroquine once and for all with two classic studies, one published in the British medical journal The Lancet, and the other in the New England Journal of Medicine. Both of those had to be retracted. They were fraudulent. Was that looked at? Not at all. The same people saying, well, hydroxychloroquine doesn't work. Why? Because it costs 60 cents a tablet and you only need 200 milligrams a week? Wow. How corrupt, how vile is our entire medical, legislative, industrial complex? They work together. Because they're working hand in hand. So any good news about COVID is disparaged by the Democrats, and things that are not supported but are promised, like vaccines, are supported by the Republicans and the Trump administration. Either way, both are dangerous and irresponsible and non-scientific. So we're going to explore that. Now, for those of you who want to defund the police, I found a very interesting commentary. What is the personality profile of police? It's one of the most interesting and in-depth I've ever heard. Also continuing to share information that both has science supporting it and challenging it, are face shields better than face masks to protect you against the coronavirus? So those are some of the things we're going to talk about, and we'll open it up for phone calls. And also I'm going to share a commentary from Marjorie Cohen, an outstanding constitutional authority, lawyer, and she has something to say about Kamala Harris's distinguished career of serving injustice. So she has taken upon herself, I'll quote verbatim, looking at her California record as attorney general and district attorney, it isn't good. Will this be discussed? Nowhere. Will there be any questions about this background that she has had? Not at all. Nope. So why not? Why not ask her good questions, hard questions? Not going to happen. And how about this? And this is what I'm going to ask you to call in on. I'm going to share a commentary today. America and the Axis of Idiots. Is human civilization doomed because people are just idiots? That, I think, you'll find of interest. So let's begin our journey today on health and healing. A compound given as a dietary supplement, mainly to overweight people, but I suggest it for people with infections, viral infections, herpes, Epstein-Barr virus, cytomegalovirus, all forms of immune modulation. But in this case, it's just about overweight. In otherwise healthy people, in a clinical trial, caused many of the patients to slim down. This was done at Oregon State University and Oregon Health and Science University. So how much? 600 milligrams a day. And that's good for you. Has a strong smell to it, has a strong taste to it. I suggest you take the time release. That is the best. From Cambridge University comes a study about meditation. Relaxation therapy can offer an escape from the terror of sleep paralysis. What do I mean? According to this study, Sleep paralysis, a condition thought to explain a number of mysterious experiences, including alleged cases of alien abduction and demonic nighttime visits, could be treated using a technique of meditation relaxation. That's according to this study. Sleep paralysis is a state of involving paralysis of the skeletal muscles that occurs at the onset of sleep or just before waking. And as you're temporarily immobilized, the individual is actually aware of their surroundings. People experience the phenomena, often report being terrorized by dangerous bedroom intruders or hearing voices or saying things that simply were not there. They'll say, oh, I was visited by a ghost or demons. Not true. Unsurprisingly, it can be a terrifying experience. And as many as 1 in 5 people experiences sleep paralysis, which may be triggered by sleep deprivation. So those who tend to drink coffee at night or colas, who stay up late and miss their biological circadian rhythm when you should be asleep, or those who have had any form of post-traumatic stress disorder, they're part of this. By the way, it's also common in narcolepsy, a sleep disorder involving excess daytime sleepiness and sudden loss of muscle control. This was published in the Frontiers of Neurology. So mindful meditation can help alleviate this. Something that doesn't cost anything, because mindful meditation allows you to relax your muscles, and relaxing your muscles and avoiding controlling their breathing so you're not hyper-breathing is important. So it's an inward focus attention meditation, focusing the attention inward on an emotionally involving positive object, like the memory of a loved one, or an event, or prayer, or a hymn, something that inspires you. That's a part of this. So, that's good. Also, we have a study about why walking quickly to work can be better than just a casual stroll. A study out of Ohio State University states that people walking faster are healthier and when they walk with purpose. So walking with purpose, especially walking to get to work, but you're going to do it briskly, you're going to make that an exercise for yourself, makes people walk faster and it's healthier. This was published in the Journal of Transport and Health. Found that walking for different reasons, yielding different levels of self-rated health. I just think people should go out and say, let's say you got 20 blocks, which is approximately a mile, more or less, in New York at least, and you're going to walk, but while you're walking, you're going to walk fast. You're going to focus on your breathing, and you're going to be just mindful of the environment you're in. You're going to hear the birds, if they're birds. You're going to smell the grass that was just freshly cut. And I really like the smell of fresh cut grass. It reminds me of when I was a kid cutting the grass, or as a paper boy delivering papers in the morning. That all that aroma, this smell of grass, is very relaxing, by the way. It's just like I had someone that I was helping, and they were going through a very stressful time. And so I suggested, what really relaxed you? Well, I love it when it rains, and rains on a tin roof, something like that. So there was a video, a thunderstorm with rain falling on a tin roof. Person would listen to it when they were stressed and just chilled them out. So there's all kinds of ways of relaxing, and it's almost free. Just get yourself, download a video, watch it, listen to the music or whatever sounds you're interested in. So that helps. Be mindful in your walking so you're present. Also, eating raw organic fruits and vegetables, according to Graz University of Technology, which is in Austria, boost your gut health. Yeah, you're going to get a lot more prebiotic and probiotics really colonizing, and that's what you want. You want trillions of good, healthy bacteria in your gut because that is your second brain, and that is a primary part of your immune system. And then that goes to all the cells of your body. And this was published in the Frontiers of Microbiology, a mainstream publication. And all it's very simple. The more organic produce that you consume, the better your gut microbiome, or just your good bacteria in your gut, and the more diverse it is. So eat your fruits and vegetables. Beets are particularly good. Apples are particularly good. They help. Did you ever notice when you're around people who smile, you feel better? Well, that's not unusual. From the University of South Australia comes a study that smiling can trick your mind into being more positive. I think it's always good when you see someone who smiles. I remember watching two people in an interview, separate interviews, and one was very serious, and the other was serious about the issue, but smiling. And it just made you so much more relaxed watching the person who was smiling. And laughter, of course, is a very important way to relax us, but also when we're laughing at something someone's saying, we have a higher retention of it. That's why I ask people about George Carlin, because he is funny. And they're laughing their butts off, and yet he's saying things that are deadly serious. So smile and laugh, and you're going to be more positive. And I think we need to do more of that instead of being frowny and negative and hyper-emotional. From the University of Beira Interior in Portugal comes a study that coriander, that's right, the herb coriander, is a potent weapon against antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Now, we know that MRSA, M-R-S-A, which stands for methicillin-resistant S-aureus infections, kills about 80,000 people a year. And generally, it's people with weakened immune systems in hospice care, hospitals, nursing homes. The problem of antibiotic-resistant bacteria has been deemed a public health crisis. It's really serious. And so they found that the oil of coriander is very toxic to a wide range of harmful bacteria, leading to the idea that we should be using it, especially to fight MRSA and other pathogens. So this was published in the Journal of Medical Microbiology. So that's good. So why not just use more coriander in your food? And why not get a little bottle of the coriander extract? That way it can help kill E. coli and Salmonella and B. cereus, all important to get rid of. So that's important. Also, finally, from McGill University, which is in Quebec, exercise can improve mental health. In fact, 1 in 4 men in the world suffer from mental health issues. More men than women die from mental health issues. So this is one of the ways we can help people with depression, anxiety, get them exercising. Get them up and exercising, not just drug them. That's not going to change their mindset. But exercise does. That's what this is showing. And one last thing from Cedars-Sinai Medicine Institute. Food preservatives can disrupt human hormones and promote obesity. Now, you wouldn't know it, but your breakfast cereal, the bagels, potato chips, so many of the things we just take for granted are healthy or safe, or at least safe if not healthy, they should be challenged. These are the products that make you obese, and there's growing evidence from animal experiments suggesting that the answer is yes, these are bad for you. And this was published in the study Nature Communication, because these are endocrine disruptors. And the three chemicals tested in this study are abundant in modern life. BHT, that is common, that's added to breakfast cereals and other foods, mainly to protect their nutrients. And PFOE, that's a polymer found in cookware, carpeting, and other products. And TBT, and that's a compound in paints that can make its way into water and accumulate in seafood. So we don't want these. That's why going natural and organic and fresh and local, that's the way to keep your body naturally detoxed and healthy. All right, that's the latest on health and healing. We are 15 minutes in our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from a emergency room, mainstream board certified doctor who came down with COVID-19, but he got back to work after using hydroxychloroquine in the Z-Pak, Z standing for zinc. And why in the world are we allowing the mainstream media to report that this doesn't work, it's dangerous? Yeah, when you use it at 2,400 milligrams a day instead of 200 milligrams twice a week. So this has been, the whole COVID has been weaponized. You'll hear what he has to say in just a moment.
How are you feeling today? You actually look pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely on the recovery side of this horrible illness. I feel great. I actually have tons of energy. I kind of went through the ringer. I definitely didn't have a mild case. I was very, very sick. I had bilateral pneumonia on both sides of my lungs, and was very, very scared. So I've come full circle. I actually feel like I have more energy than I did before I got sick. I think part of that is just being so grateful to be recovered and, want to get out and do good. So doing really well.
So your symptoms lasted 2 weeks. Could you give us a little bit more of a feeling of what it was like?
Sure.
You mentioned energy as one example, but I suspect your breathing was challenged as well.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, I want to get this and get done with it so that I could be on the front line. I'm an ER doctor. I'm seeing patients that are being diagnosed with corona all day long. So I got sick with mild symptoms for the first week, some body aches and fevers, kind of just going through the process without much concern. On day 7, I really hit a wall. And I went to the ER at Mount Sinai, where I had privileges, and checked myself in as a patient, which was incredibly scary. And at the time, we did an x-ray. I saw pneumonia on both sides. And that's when things really got difficult. And I was really quite concerned because not only was I sick, but my 77-year-old father is in an ICU in Las Vegas because he had been sick from corona as well. So managing my own recovery, dealing with family that was critically ill, and also having a practice that's on the front lines and making sure that we stayed healthy and safe as a group in order to help others.
So along the way, as someone who's knowledgeable in the field, you decide to take the drug combination, hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do it? What side effects did you experience?
Sure. Well, I was most concerned about having pneumonia on both sides. As a clinician, diagnosing somebody with bilateral pneumonia usually means hospitalization. So I actually was consulting with my father-in-law, who's an infectious disease specialist. We looked at the literature. We were able to make a determination that it made sense for my particular illness, and then started taking the treatment. I got to say, I did not have any side effects. I tolerated it well. And I repeated my x-ray 2 days later at 48 hours and it improved. So again, this is anecdotal. I can't say that taking the medication or treatment made a difference in my recovery. All I can say is that I got better. And of course, we're being very cautious about sending information to people or sharing information that everybody should be taking it, because that's not the case. It's a prescribed medication, so we have the issue with making sure that you're getting treatment that's prescribed to you. Additionally, there's not enough medication to give to people. And also, we want to make sure that people aren't causing harm. So potential side effects. It is essentially an immunosuppressant.
So I know you mentioned your father-in-law. Your partner also recently was diagnosed after, in his case, more mild symptoms. So just in your own family, who gets the treatment? Who doesn't get it? Did your partner get it? Did your father get it?
Partner did not. Mild symptoms, 3 days of fever, was essentially better after that. My father...
Oh, okay. Here's two points that should be made. There are multiple clinical studies, multiple, that we have reported, we have posted. They're there for any journalist or layperson or doctor to review, that clearly shows that those attacking the medication, in this case, were wrong. They were retracted from The Lancet and New England Journal of Medicine. And that now we have dozens, hundreds of doctors coming forward at great risk because they're all being attacked by the mainstream media as irresponsible or not knowing what they're talking about. One doctor had 350 patients, every single one Now, here's the key. You take it early, within the first 7 days of symptoms. You take it at low potency, 200 milligrams. You take it with zinc and an antibiotic. That's the protocol. And there have been phenomenal results. In fact, America's leading epidemiologists reported the big studies that no one's mentioned at all and reviewed them and published an article in the most respected epidemiological journal in America. And not a single person will have him on television. He's an MD, PhD with 300 published papers in the peer-reviewed literature. Nobody will interview him. They don't want to have that message out. Why not? Why don't they want to talk about what you can do to get out in the sun and exercise and get your sweat going, which kills viruses? Taking vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc. And this is in the peer-reviewed literature. These are hundreds of studies. Not a word. Nothing. Now, here's something that follows into this, and this is an article, I'll quote some of it, by Unair Hawk, and quote, America and the Axis of Idiots is human civilization doomed because people are just idiots. Quote, it's easy enough to see the end of our civilization from here. We have about a decade before climate change, mass extinction, and ecological collapse go nuclear, and cause decades of waves of depression, pandemics, upheavals, social collapses, extremism, and authoritarian implosions that make the last 6 months look like a fond memory. Imagine 2020, but getting far worse forever. That's why things feel so bleak right now. So I want to ask the question, are people just idiots? Are we doomed because of human stupidity? You might imagine that I have a jaundiced view of human nature. But I don't. I think the problem of human stupidity is indeed a grave threat to our civilization now, by which I mean aggression, hostility, cruelty, selfishness, all kinds of idiocy. I use the word idiot not as an insult, but as the way the Greeks meant it, someone who's only interested in themselves, in private gain, in advantage and wealth and power. Isn't that most of us? Actually, no. I also think that if we look at the world carefully, a subtler picture of human stupidity emerges. Let's take a brief spin around the globe. People in Europe don't seem to be idiots. Sure, there are idiots everywhere. Excuse me. But the problem of human stupidity might well have been solved, kept in check in Europe. Why do I say that? Because, by and large, Europe's racing ahead. It's crushing coronavirus curves after a nightmarish outbreak. And now, even though second waves are popping up here and there, life is returning cautiously to a post-pandemic normal. But that's the small picture. The big one, Europe is the only region in the world to have successfully cut carbon emissions. Middle classes aren't in perfect health, but they're doing reasonably well. Incomes have grown over the last few decades, thanks to strong labor protections and expansion of public sector jobs and income guarantees. So the middle class has stayed a solid entity, a constituency, with real social and political clout and power. It used that power in turn to keep the wave of fascism and authoritarianism that has swept the globe in the 1910s firmly in check. Yes, Europe's extremists contested power, but by and large, they were kept in check. By Europe, I'm speaking of Western Europe. In Eastern Europe, poor, underdeveloped, and extremism in the populations is now the norm. From Poland to Belarus, that's a major threat to Western Europe. Make no mistake. There's a European idiot, too, but he hasn't stopped progress from the European Union as a whole, which at the moment is the world's bellwether of human progress. The same is true in Canada. Canadians don't seem to be idiots. It's a society that's still making progress, whether we think in terms of income, savings, or well-being. Lifespans are increasing. Middle and working classes are relatively stable. Mobility hasn't imploded. That means that Canadians haven't fallen into despair and fury and discontentment, and they've managed to retain their sanity. Okay, that's a small part of this very long article, and it goes on. So here's my question to the listeners, please. I'm looking at this from a little different point of view. I've gone to neutral, and I've looked at what is causing our angst, what is causing us to make incorrect or poor choices, even if we know better, even if we know the choice we're about to make is not the choice we should make. Why do we keep making it? Is because we're an addictive nation? When people eat the sugary foods or the fat-causing foods, the heart-damaging foods, drink the alcohol in college and on afterwards, as if somehow drinking something that's toxic to the body, that kills millions of cells per drink, tastes bad, and then what's the purpose? To be socially acceptable because whatever the others are doing, we're doing as well? Makes no sense, does it? Why is it you would vote for the lesser of two evils instead of looking for one who is not evil? Even if you lose, at least you establish some sense of idealism that you can build upon. What if we had done that when some of us, not many, voted for Ralph Nader? Then by the time Jill Stein came around, who was certainly the most progressive candidate we've had running for office in probably the last 60 years, on every single point she was on this program, every one of the 40 things I challenged her with, she said yes to. Should we have universal health care where we take the profit out of the health care system? Yes. That would save us $2 trillion. We've written articles on that showing how it's done. Should we take all money out of politics so the average person can run for office? Yes. Should we stop engaging in regime change? Yes. Should we pull out of all of our troops out of all other countries? Yes. Should we cut the military-industrial complex down by at least 80%? Yes. Should we put that money back into inner cities to help people establish themselves? Should we give interest-free loans of up to $5 million to small business people willing to go into a ghetto area, providing that they pay a living wage, not a minimum wage, a living wage and health care for their employees? Yes. Should we ban genetically engineered food? Yes. Should we decommission all of our nuclear power plants? Yes. Should we take down our entire military industrial complexes and have emphasis upon new nukes? Yes. So across all these, should we reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act? Yes. Should we abolish Citizens United? Yes. Should we take away the charters of corporations that are knowingly breaking the law, putting the environment or people at risk, like Vioxx did from Merck? Yes. Ah, then you couldn't get out of jail. You would lose your corporation, all your stockholders. Yeah. Well, that would straighten people up real fast. So why is it not one single, reasonable, honest change has occurred? Not one, no matter who's in office. And shouldn't we stop voting for people based upon identity politics? Because how's that worked out? It hasn't. It's been a disaster, if you're honest. Just like the media, it's a disaster. You can't get an honest answer from anyone. So that's one level. This week, Iraq had the hottest day in history, and now the Arctic is melting, and over 8 million miles of tundra are thawing, which will increase global warming at such a rapid pace that one night you'll go to bed and the next night the reports will be that we have no more glaciers in North America or Canada because they've melted. And we have no more ice covering the Arctic. So now the positive feedback loop is more sun goes through dark water, heating the dark water. That dark water is shallow. It heats up the soil that's been frozen at the bottom. That opens up tiny little fissures, which trillions of bubbles come out, and that is all going to contribute methane to the atmosphere, which is at least 23 times to 68 times more deadly to the consequences of global warming than carbon dioxide. But we're not doing a darn thing. Are the woke people becoming vegans? No. Did all this hopaloo with Greta Thunberg, did it cause us to shift? Not at all. It just put all the money into the people behind her. As I said, I believe that she was sincere and she had a message, but it was all scripted. Nothing happened except some people and foundations and corp groups like Al Gore. Now they control the whole carbon caps, trades, billions of dollars. When are we going to wake up? Are we that stupid we can't see the real motives? Do we not see that for 3 years And there's nothing I will say good about Trump. I don't know a single thing I could say that would say anything good about him. I've told you my thoughts on that. But who you vote for is your business. And I won't tell you who to vote for. I have too much respect for your intelligence that you can make right decisions. But when you accuse his administration and him of colluding with the Russians, and yet I speak with Wim Benny, I speak with Ray McGovern and a whole group of whistleblowers who've been on our programs who say impossible for the Russians to have hacked John Podesta's and Hillary Clinton's emails from the Democratic National Convention. That was an individual. And then we find out that individual got assassinated. And yet no investigation beyond that. And so why did we have to do this? Because we needed the Democrats to maintain control. And the only way to do it is to create a false narrative that might cause an impeachment. That didn't work. But what didn't we do in all this dog and pony show? We didn't handle a single important issue, like we're not right now. We're not dealing with coronavirus properly. The people who should be in quarantine are the sick ones who we can help if we use more holistic and reasonable approaches for their diabetes, emphysema, cancers, but we're not. And the healthy people who should not be in quarantine, we're keeping in quarantine. It makes no sense. It makes no sense health-wise. It makes no sense to take an antibiotic test that is a fraud. There's no gold standard. So if you're being told you're COVID-19 positive, but the antibody study does not confirm that, it doesn't know whether it's a COVID cold virus that you got 20 years ago, so you had a cold 20 years ago, so now you test positive. It can't distinguish between COVIDs. It's not that, doesn't have that specificity. So why don't we call this out? Why don't we call out the fact that they're rushing through with a vaccine that already the side effects in the experimental group, a tiny group, over 50% had adverse effects? Could you imagine what that would do if you have 2 or 3 billion people taking it? You would decimate. There would be no death in human history, not the Black Plague and not the Spanish flu, that will have killed as many people as this experimental vaccine could kill. Yet, where are the voices? Well, the nanny state wants to answer that. We are the voice. We are the truth. There is no other truth but us. But what about the woke generation? We want our government to do everything for us. We trust them. You know, where are the people in the streets? But they're the wise men and women. So anything they say we should take, drink, eat, we will do so. Mandate it, we will do so. Get chipped, we will do so. Scan our brains, we will do so. You didn't hear us reporting any complaints, not a single march, not a single letter written about asset forfeiture, of the National Defense Authorization Act, of the right to spy on you. Nothing. So we're eating ourselves into graves. We've reversed the aging process, and we're de-aging. We're advancing our age by as much as 3 years. So we're running backwards now, which is terrible. You could die at like 75 now instead of 78. So our health is in the abyss, our body politic is in the cesspool, and our environment is right off the cliff. There won't be dozens of years left with you surviving in different places. Major parts of the earth will simply be uninhabitable. It'll be uninhabitably hot with fires, torrential rain, storms that we've never seen. Yet tell that to the people, the developers building new condos down in Miami, and the people rushing in to take up the empty spaces everywhere on the West Coast or East Coast of the United States, starting with the Keys. All that very shortly is going to be uninhabitable. But we're not dealing with it. We're not dealing with how to create sustainable agriculture. So no matter what problem you look at, we're not dealing with it. We're turning and walking away because everything is identity politics and anti-Trump. You can be anti-Trump all you want, but that doesn't create something positive in its place. And if you think these politicians coming into office and into power shortly are going to make it a better world, then go back and revisit Barack Obama. Yeah, he got a Nobel Prize and then invaded 7 countries, causing over 1 million deaths, destroying an entire nation, Libya, that was responsible for only being the best nation, best country in Africa out of 54. No debt, freedoms that you don't see anywhere else in those countries, in the Middle East. Yeah, the Paris, and he destroyed it. Has he been held accountable? Nope. Hillary Clinton? Nope. All the other people at the State Department? Nope. The Defense Department? No, nobody. So how smart are we when there's not a single thing in the world that we're doing right? Okay, as a policy. I'd like to hear your response. So maybe this person, America and the Axis of Idiots, is human civilization doomed because people are just stupid? And he's using the Greek term, which is not derogatory. It's just self-absorbed and selfish. But remember, I was telling you this over 15 years ago, then 10 years ago. Remember back in 2008 when I was traveling around the country producing and filming Poverty Inc., and I went into Nevada, and there's whole gigantic communities, and people would look out their window and see their neighbors standing on the lawn because the marshal said you got 1 hour to get everything out. And the people just didn't know what to do. They had no money. And not a single neighbor came out and says, friend, we've been friends for 20 years. Our kids went to school together. We vacationed together. Let me help you. How can I help you? Well, I have no place to put our furniture. Come on, we can squeeze some of that into my garage. And what we don't squeeze in the garage, I'll help find you a locker and we'll help you pay for the locker. Do you have any food? We can go and buy you some food. Nothing. Nothing. Wow. And that told me all I had to know. So all your books and all your self-empowerment lectures and all your Tony Robbins smiling like Francis the Talking Mule, and, you know, from and making people say, let's clap and sing together, just send me the big checks. Exactly how's that work? How's any of this work? I'm curious. I'd like your response. Give us a call, 888-874-4888. And we have Pauline from Queens. Hi, Pauline. Your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. I know that people, you know, they seem to be stupid, but I don't think it's just that. Like you said, the food, everything is, like, toxic to them. We can't think straight anymore. It's sort of mind control. I really believe that. It's almost as if, I can't believe people are that stupid. They don't put two and two together, but the fear, they divide and conquer us with racism and everything. And so I have this feeling that they just want us to give up our spirits. I mean, by putting us all in fear, we can't think straight and we will make the wrong choices. We're not coming from a place of logic or even stability or even in peace. If we would just be in peace, we could think for ourselves and finally maybe be free of this, I don't know what, police state. I'm very disheartened because I'm born here and I don't like what I see going on. My parents are from Chinese descent in the communist countries. They left communism. And I can't believe people here really think that socialism and communism is the best idea. I know there's a panacea, but only with the right moral people like you, Gary. You would probably be the perfect president, but I don't think you'd be voted in, unfortunately.
I would be shot.
I know. You're lucky you're still alive after all the things they try to get you. They try to get you for being so helping us in our health.
Hey, you know,
I'd love to be part of that reverse aging group. I'm going to try to see if you still have space for me.
Good. Let's break down a few things you said. Okay, Pauline?
Yes.
And by the way, thank you for calling in. I don't believe that we're being intentionally programmed. I believe we are being very intentionally put into a mind state where we have few options, since any reasonable alternative approach to science or to nutrition or to body politic or to caring for the environment or to care for each other, where you look at a person and you don't see a race, you see a special sentient soul. How can you not love that person? How can you not come from love when you see that there's so much love in this world, though it's not always reciprocated and it's not always appreciated? But for those there are, we have no shortages of good people and shortages of ideas and shortages of people who want to do the right thing. And that is what we have come through. Think of the people who came through the Great Depression, your parents and mine, World War II, your parents and mine. And think of the society that rebuilt with 51% belonging to unions where we had collective bargaining. There was no longer sweatshops. There was no longer child labor. And we therefore had clean sanitation and clean food and clean water. And as a result, we didn't even have vaccines, because before the first vaccine for measles was invented, We already had a 99% reduction in vaccines. This is a matter of public record. And so we gave credit to the people and their efforts at the local, family, and community level. People worked together. Nobody locked their houses because we trusted our neighbors. We trusted each other. We knew that if someone dropped a wallet, they'd actually find it and find you and bring it back with the money intact. So there was a different time, a different ethic, because we all came from a basic moral background. It didn't matter what your religion. It mattered that almost all religion, Islam and Christianity and Judaism and Hinduism, all of these have something in common, and that is respect for life, forgiveness, respect for each other, so we can join together. Now think of the progress we have made. Think of the major achievements that have been gained because we chose not to deal in identity politics. That's where Edward Bernays, who was Sigmund Freud's nephew, created the first propaganda machine. And he showed, how do you control people's habits? By limiting their options, limit their freedoms of choice. Okay, so if I'm talking about what a healthy diet would be, with fiber and fresh fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts and seeds, and I have the science to prove it, but what if then one group, Wikipedia, comes along and says, that's all quackery? Well, then if you don't have a choice of listening to me because I've been erased, excluded, made persona non grata, then you only have one belief. It doesn't matter what you eat. You can eat anything, anything. Just eat it in moderation. So a toxin and a poison is, you know, it's not a big deal as long as it's in moderation. And that's the lie that we've been living with. So if you're told you only have one vote, that's Democrat or Republican. No. In Italy, they have 130-some parties, more or less. And other countries have multiple parties. Why can't we have multiple parties? Why can't we have a justice party and a people's party and why can't we have an earth party? Why can't we have multiple parties so that platforms are not controlled and monopolized by groups? Because those groups are paid money and support if they go along with what they're told. So if you're an admiral, you're a general, and you go along with, yeah, we need this war. It's a threat to America. We've got to bomb Grenada. We've got to go in there with our full force and stop, you know, the Panamanian Revolution, because it's a threat to America, George Bush Sr., on both of those. Well, and Reagan. So now we don't know that there's an option. We don't have people on the media saying, you know, these people represent no threat to us. None. Zero. Well, Iraq didn't represent a threat, but we were lied to. That's propaganda. So propaganda creates conditioning, and our conditioning then creates our perception, and our perception then becomes a very limited monotheistic reality. So you only have one truth. Well, if Bill O'Reilly says it, or Rush Limbaugh says it, Sean Hannity says that, it must be true. No, it doesn't need to be true, just like Barack Obama lied about everything. So don't look at his skin, don't look at his ethnicity, don't look at his religion. It's irrelevant. Look at what a person does, because that's who they are. So we've got to get back to treating people with respect for who they are and what they do. Now, if they choose not to be respectful and not to be honest, then you judge them accordingly. So that's where we then take back the power, because if, as long as people who are of a different mindset, like a Chris Hedges or Abby Martin or Cornel West or Black Agenda Report, if they have a different perspective, then we should hear it. Now, we can agree or disagree in part or whole, but we should have a right to hear open and honest debate. Today, there is no open and honest debate. It's two sides of stupid arguing that they're intelligent, and they're not. So every proposal is a wrong proposal. This vaccine is going to be a wrong proposal. So how do they deal with that? Make it mandatory. So you have no choice. And that's coming to New York and California. So I wouldn't live there. My health is more important than honoring the dictates of the state. Also, I'm one of those people who see, does the state serve us as our servants, as they're supposed to, do our bidding as they're supposed to make us safe and healthy? No. They control every aspect of our lives. And you can thank Obama, Bush Jr., Bush Sr. for that. But we don't. We held them as wise people. They're not. We live with hypocrisy. rampant hypocrisy, palpable hypocrisy, different systems of justice depending upon your wealth and power. So you see, it's only when you're aware of how widespread the problem is, then you realize I'm a part of that. I'm using their credit cards. I'm eating their food. I'm listening to their radio and watching their television, reading their New York Times. I'm buying their clothes made in Bangladesh. You know, I'm eating their genetically engineered hamburgers. I shouldn't be doing that, because then I have no right to complain, because then I'm intentionally complicit. So you see, being programmed is what we do in America. And we exclude everyone who does not abide by that sanctity of belief. They become heretics. And the heretic is always punished. And right now, the woke generation that is a cult are going after. These are the unfortunate black shirts, 1922 in Mussolini's Italy. That's what's coming. So good for you for being aware of it, because awareness is the first step from that tyranny to freedom. So thank you very much for calling in. Chris from Queens. Hi, Chris, your turn.
Hi. I have so much to say about this, but I'll try to be brief. I have a question to ask everybody listening to this. This is my first point. This selection of Kamala as Biden's running mate, I was thinking, when she was running, and I'm not taking a position on this here, but I was just thinking how dumb this country has become. I mean, forgive me if it's the incorrect term to use, but it's just dumb. It's not even stupid. It's dumb. Because here we are, we constantly call ourselves the democratic country who makes these has a presumption of knowledge over the rest of the world. And yet, here is a person, we cast a ballot, people cast their vote during the so-called campaigns. This particular person did not, she dropped out of the race very early because she had lost a lot of the, you know, forget the particulars, I mean, you know them, but she dropped out of the race very early. So if you look at what the public, whom the public voted for, she was not amongst those people. So the idea that we would accept this as a democratic process, there's nothing democratic about what is going on here at all. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not even about capitalism. It's not even about socialism that you read from the right that constantly say communism is a socialist country. It's not about that. It's a big hoodwink and bamboozlement of the entire public. And people who would accept this, even if I ever had any intention of voting for Biden, I would not vote for him for this particular reason. I mean, it's very obvious that the man, you know, he's I mean, I like the guy. He looked like a nice guy. But do you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, we're accepting, this country is going to accept it. And you have everybody on the so-called left, whatever that's supposed to mean, telling you that, you know, they start to perpetuate and, you know, trying to build this nonsense up that we're going to go through a so-called campaign, that it's not going to be a real campaign because everybody has to wear a mask. I mean, the whole thing is obscene. It's you know, the things that you hear, and yet we're accepting this as a democratic process. There's nothing democratic about this. Secondly, a lot of these terms that are used, I mean, these people are supposed to be people with degrees, for God's sake, and professors of universities. To say that math is racist, does anybody understand that math, you wouldn't have music if you didn't have mathematics, okay? Everything has a rhythm and a color and a hue to it. I mean, that's what makes life. It's not sitting behind a desk, and it's not trying to make money off of money, okay? It's not a product. And the idea that they would accept this because students don't want to take math, what the hell is going on? I mean, it's an unbelievable. And to say that women now, because you have transgender people, which, you know, good for them. Women have been wearing pants for years, and men have a right to wear skirts if they, you know, choose to be and to choose to be who they, he, she are. However, when you're telling me, and as a woman, I find this really humorous, it doesn't even make me angry, the idea that you would say, well, you're not going to say women who give birth, you say individuals who give birth. I would like to take any person who was a male and is now considered a female to see if they ever could give birth. I mean, that's such an insult to the entire idea of women's rights that you don't hear from the so-called feminists at all. I mean, give me a break. Okay. You've got to be kidding me.
Chris, did you have your fiber today? You had a lot to say there. Good. We're here for people to have a chance to vent a little bit. And there's a lot that you said that I'm sure a lot of people could resonate with. We're just very frustrated because the people that we've trusted completely with our lives, with the planet's lives, with our society's lives, have betrayed us. And we're seeing the consequence. It's for we individuals to stand up and declare ourselves. I'll talk more about this tomorrow because there's a very famous person who, when I asked them, would you stand up and join us? Person said no. I said, why not? Person then wrote me back. Well, it would jeopardize my funding on some project. And I said, well, imagine that you were the one being attacked. Oh, you were. And we came to your aid. Oh, we did. But now you don't want to help other people by using your voice. We have a lot of cowardice today in different institutions, academia, in science, that should be standing up and saying when something's wrong, it's wrong. When it's stupid, it's stupid. Thank you very much, Chris. We're going to end our program today with, I promised you, a discussion on the shield, whether the shield or the mask is better. I happen to think that both together would be the best protection. Let's hear what they have to say.
Okay, so by now, just about everyone is wearing face masks. In an effort to flatten the curve, face masks or cloth coverings have been required in New York and other major cities across the globe since April 15th. Many businesses, too, have implemented a face mask protocol prior to entering their establishments. So now that you've gotten used to them, are you ready to switch to a shield? This is what some experts are promoting. So what should you do? Let's take a look. In a recently published article in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Parencevich, an infectious disease physician, argued that a face shield could better reduce the transmission of infections as it covers your mouth, nose, and eyes from bacteria, liquid droplets, and aerosols. They also argued that face shields should be included as part of strategies to safely and significantly reduce transmission in a public setting. And now the debate is on. Which protective mask is better suited to prevent infection? So let's look at the pros and cons. Here's infectious disease expert Dr. Amesh Adalja to break down the pros and cons of each.
The only pro of a face mask is, yes, it does form a physical impediment to droplets that may emanate from your mouth when you're talking or when you're breathing. However, it hasn't been established yet that that decreases transmission of this virus. So there is this theoretical idea that it impedes the motion of droplets to come out of your mouth, and that may decrease transmission. The cons of them are the fact that they give people a false sense of security, and people use them as a substitute for social distancing and a substitute for not washing their hands. The other con is that people touch their face a lot more when they're wearing the mask. People with masks also don't often wash them as much as they need to wash them, and those masks themselves can be contaminated not only with the novel coronavirus but with other types of pathogens, and these are strewn around city streets and sidewalks as well as in a person's house, where they may contaminate things secondarily because they're not washing or taking care of that mask. So those are some of the cons that we see with household mask wearing. The pros of a face shield are that they cover not only your mouth and your nose, they cover your eyes as well. And you can be infected with the coronavirus through your eyes. So that is a benefit over and above a face mask. Another benefit is that they're translucent. You can see through them. They're less obstructive to your mouth and your nose. So they may be more comfortable to wear. The third is that they're reusable. You can clean them off and you can wear them again. Many people with face masks, for example, will throw them out. They'll fail to wash them because they're harder to wash. They need to be washed in a washing machine, for example, versus a face shield that can be washed with household detergent because it's basically just a plexiglass covering that you wear. And I do think that there's emerging data that face shields may be a superior way of protecting yourself and others from the coronavirus. For me, the cons are they may be more expensive, they may be harder to obtain, they can't necessarily be homemade as easier, but I do think that the cons are largely outweighed by the pros of using a face shield.
A 2014 cough simulation by the National Library of Medicine found a shield could reduce a user's viral exposure by 96% when worn within 18 inches of someone who's coughing. There are, however, drawbacks to the shield. First, research is limited. It's unclear how effective shields actually are. Secondly, shields do not seal the entire face. Contaminants may still enter your system if droplets are released behind or to the side of users.
Though face shields are open below and on the sides, I don't believe that that's a major risk for transmission. Remember that these respiratory droplets are likely to fall to the ground within 6 feet. They act under the action of gravity. So to see an upwardly moving droplet would be, you know, to defy the law of gravity. So I don't think that there is much of a concern with the openings there. Actually, those openings may make them much more easier to wear, much more easier to comply with. And I would say the benefit of not touching your face and protecting your eyes probably outweighs any other deficiency that people might postulate about these face shields.
While camps are split on the debate, Dr. Parentovich and his team...
So, there you have another example, and we'll continue to share information on every aspect of COVID to show you that some of the issues are unresolved. Some don't have good quality science, but the biggest problem is the antibody test. The ones are using to determine all public policy, and those are wrong because there's no universal 100% gold standard antibody test. Until there is, then we don't know whether or not people just have a normal history of colds or flu, and that's showing up in an antibody test, and that's probably a lot of them. Therefore, this was not rising to the level of a real pandemic. This was no better than just or worse than most flu seasons, and that should have been the measure by which they told us what to do instead of closing down the nations, the world. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.